Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy broadcast for the Persecuted Church is a fast-moving gospel news program. Therefore, we do not take calls, so you can send all correspondences and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network to us through our contact page at warn-usa.com. Today is the 13th day. It's Wednesday, 13th day of November, 2019. And the scripture reading for this week is Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through chapter 22, verse 24. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 37. And the New Testament portion is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook, also on Twitter at hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio. We're on Instagram, LinkedIn, and you can listen to our shows on the Warn Radio Network. You can find our shows on the website at warn-usa.com in our podcast for listening and downloads, on our website via the Spreaker app on both warn-usa and danaglennsmith.com. You can also find Warn Radio on these website streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, and Google Podcast. Be sure to take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman, which can be found at on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. The articles featuring this week are God's Purpose, the Lesson of That Old Porch. It is this lesson, the lesson of that old porch, which makes life come into a brighter view, being thankful for what there is and settling for God's purpose. Time and tide, it is said, wait for no man. So too, God's purpose waits and allows us to make our choices. Also, Faith of Jesus in a World of Evil. We can clearly see the faith of Jesus Christ daily in this world of evil. The days of lawlessness warned about by the Apostle Paul are clearly upon our generation. One day you could be safe, secure, and ministering for Jesus. Then the next day you're facing the evil. But in this evil, we can never leave the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. As well, he promised, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So you can read more on those posts at danaglennsmith.com or warn-usa.com. And now I invite the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's good to be here. Seems like it's been a long time.
I know. Well, over the weekend, we had a busy weekend and we were out of town. So I guess that's probably why it seems like a long time. We don't usually get to go very far.
We didn't really go very far, but we were gone.
Well, we went further than we have in a long time, so.
That's true.
You know, so, I mean, usually we just get around town. Even that is a friggin' mess.
Oh,
around
man,
here.
Like a huge city.
Yeah,
anymore with the way the traffic is, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah, it is. Well, today they've been doing their impeachment. And the first two star witnesses that they called never talked to Trump at all.
Really?
Laura Ingraham said she broke down and backslid, and she listened to a few minutes of it. And she said she got, and she came across the idea, you know, the reason for the whole thing is the Dem bureaucrats got mad at Trump because they think the Dem bureaucrat vision and version of things and the way to do things is better than what Trump wanted to do.
Yeah, whatever.
Well,
they're,
you know,
delusional.
It's true.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, she didn't say it was okay. She was just saying that's why they got all bent out of shape.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but, you know, the two star witnesses never even talked to Trump. I mean, how can you have any kind of a verification of anything? So, at any rate.
Well, didn't one of them... Was one of those the ones that got their information from the New York Times or Washington Post or something?
Well, one of them, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly where. Well, at any rate, it goes. I ain't paying any attention to it. I get enough news from those who are watching it. Let them do it. I'm not going to subject myself to this stupidity by the Democrats. Just because they're dumb and stupid doesn't mean I have to do it. And, you know, that's just the way it is. It's ludicrous as far as I'm concerned. And so I'm going to do this when the war will begin. Israel preparations for war. And one of the reasons that I'm doing this, folks, is I do track Israel and a number of things that are very important. And as you know, Gaza, one of their leading commanders, was taken out by Israel. Well, you know, the Palestinians plot all the time to take down Israel, and their dream is to destroy Israel along with Iran's dream. That's Iran's dream.
Right.
But, you know, the thing of it is when we talk about this and we deal with the Palestinian situation, as many in the BDS, you know, want to do in order to try to destroy Israel and force them to do things, is that there's a lot of Palestinians that are in prisons resting because they are Palestinian. And you find them throughout the Middle East and various countries. And there was an article on Gatestone Institute, and it's this guy that writes this stuff. He's written it before. At any rate, you know, the Palestinian leaders over in Israel, you know, in Gaza, don't ever mention the fact of these Palestinians that are in prison. And there's quite a number of them that have been persecuted and put there. And these people are as much Palestinians as the ones that are, you know, in Gaza. Not to mention the fact the UN don't say anything about them. The EU don't say anything about them. In America, other Muslims or even other Americans who like BDS don't say anything about them. So it's a two-faced show, to say the least. And, you know, or the worst, and it's at its best, it's absolute nonsense. You know, and it's hard to believe that the Palestinians have never been able to. Of course, when Arafat came over, you know, the first thing he did was teach blood hatred towards Israel. And we monitored a lot of it at the time. A number of groups were monitoring it. And they taught their children and their kindergarten kids with Disney characters illustrating Jews and how bad they were. And they would drink blood and do all kinds of things, portraying them like the devil. And this is exactly what they would do. So today now, thanks to Arafat and the ongoing Palestinian leaders in their educational system, all the kids have grown up and their kids have grown up. And now they're all a bunch of avowed Jew-hating Palestinians. And so the big thing that comes out is another report by Jerry Golden. This time he's asking when will the war begin? And, you know, right now Israel's right in the midst of all the rockets being sent over. And I think they were getting a couple of hundred. This has been about the thing, a couple of hundred. But some of these rockets have been able to penetrate a little bit further. If Iran gets involved, when Iran tries to attack, then Hezbollah and all of their rockets, which they expect to be 4,000 a day coming into Israel.
Wow.
And so Jerry Golden makes note that Israel is preparing for war with Iran and all of its proxies. And that includes Hezbollah. And then you count in Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, Iraq, Gaza, and possibly Turkey. Now, Turkey, Erdogan's Turkey, was in the White House. There was a picture of him with President Trump today, talking about all the things in the Middle East. Meanwhile, words that he came out and said that he would not let any group, stop what they're trying to do. And the language was that of a caliphate army trying to initiate the war of Islam. That's exactly what it sounded like. And that was made note in a number of social media today. So Erdogan is showing his stripes here, and we've warned of Erdogan. So it very well could be all of them together. And according to what Jerry Golden has seen, now he is a Messianic Jew with a ministry in Israel. And he says the question is very soon there's going to be war. Now, of course, we've reported on this for several years now with Israel warning continually of the Ezekiel 38 war. Now, again, he mentions the Ezekiel 38. And in Ezekiel 38, he says, when you look at the enemies listed above, you can see Ezekiel 38. He finds Ezekiel 38 and the fact that Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, Iraq, and Gaza, and possibly Turkey would all be involved in it. These would all be outlying areas. Would fulfill that. Now, the only other thing that he did not mention was any mention of Russia. Now, Russia and Erdogan had got into a tit-for-tat not too long ago, probably a couple of years ago, and then finally Erdogan made up with him because he needs Putin. Putin and Russia have contacts and also a sub-base, and I think it's a submarine base. But at any rate, they have a base over in Libya because they allowed him to put in one. He helped Assad fight off ISIS. And then also Israel has been in contact over these many years. Netanyahu went to Putin many times and had a favorable response from him concerning Syria. So there is a lot of this wonderment in here. If Russia does decide to attack Israel along with the rest of them, then yes, he would be joining people that he has some contact with, but he would be absolutely stabbing Netanyahu and Israel in the back, who have actually gone to him. So whether or not Russia is going to come or not, or if it's just a portion of one of their satellites, former satellites. But at any rate, the big thing of it is it's a lot of armies and air forces to fight. And of course, now they are dependent that the USA is going to help. And there's no doubt about that, especially under Trump. If there was a major war, he would see to it that America would help. But
that's
the first
right.
thing that he they're, would. You know, and so they're talking about the first thing that's going to get hit is Tel Aviv. Now, Tel Aviv is where the airport is. I think that's where it's at. One of the major, major hubs with a huge airport. And they can wipe Tel Aviv off the map in less than 30 minutes. And
wow.
Their first target would be the Kiria in Tel Aviv, and that is like the American Pentagon. So that's their military place. So they would be trying to hit that. But see, make no mistake, Israel has all this stuff underground. They have some of the best technological advances of any country. And on top of that, they do have a response. And Israel would put into a special code into effect if this happened, called Momentum. And it would expand their missile defense capability, which, you know, what we're saying is this is not going to be good. It's not going to be good for Israel, but it's especially not going to be good for any of those that attack. And
boy, I believe that. That's the truth.
And he says that not unlike America, we have a leader, Netanyahu, hamstrung by the bleeding heart liberals who seem to have lost their minds. But I am convinced it's not mental, it's spiritual. In the last war in 2006, Israel took between 200 and 300 missiles a day. In the upcoming one, they're looking at 4,000 missiles, and this whole thing could go on for 6 months.
Wow.
And he said all of the stuff that he's writing about is not secret, and it's absolutely in their daily news in Israel all the time. And these missiles that they would be shooting are many times more powerful than they used to be. And they're able to hit every square inch of Israel. And then the Ben Gurion airport would be closed. And this will not only stop all commercial flights out of Israel, but much of Israel's produce and many other supplies would be stopped for a long period of time.
Boy, that's horrible.
And he says the first target, or maybe the second after they hit these other targets, would be the electrical grid. And he says in Israel, it doesn't even have to be an EMP, just a couple of well-placed missiles. So he says Iran is building a ring of fire around Israel with Hezbollah in Lebanon. They claim to have around 200,000 missiles pointed at Israeli cities. The IDF has bombed over 100 Iranian military sites under construction in Lebanon over the past year. And they continue to establish missile bases in Lebanon. And Iran is building their bases now in Iraq and Yemen in order to stay out of the reach, of course, of Israel. And with the cancellation of the 2015 agreement with Obama, Iran is increasing their nuclear enrichment centrifuges. And they're in a hurry to build their bombs. And he says, when I heard heard Iran say they could destroy Tel Aviv in less than 30 minutes, He says that confirms what he and many other Jews already believe, that they already have bombs. And if they didn't make them, they bought them. Now, remember, one of the reasons that Obama wanted to do this with Iran was to stop the nuclear bomb making. So, you know, the bottom line of it is that, you know, the United States, if it does get in there, and I've said this many times, if they go after Israel, they will go after America. So when this happens, America is not out of the picture at all. And if this does happen, Trump will definitely be asked by Israel to give him a hand. And so Iran, he says, would want to know what China, Russia, and North Korea are going to do and when. So the big idea here is that, yes, Iran and all of its proxies are going to attack, but what is China, Russia, North Korea going to do? And would they potentially attack America in order to help their friends in the Middle East? That's what this boils down to. And, you know, he says there is absolutely no doubt that all hell is about to break loose, not only in the Middle East, but globally. He says the world has gone completely insane and more anti-God every day, and sin rules supreme in most countries. You know, you and I talk about this all the time.
That's true.
And here's a guy sitting in Israel, and he sees the same thing. It's amazing around the world how many people see the same thing. So,
I know.
You know, the bottom line of it is Jerry and those with him in the ministry believe Israel will still be there. I do too. No matter what the enemy looks like, I believe they'll get through it. But we've been warned about several years, maybe longer than that, because we've been talking about a major war coming for a long time.
That's right, we have.
But is it going to happen soon? How soon is soon? That's the question. We don't know. But no doubt, you know, I remember Netanyahu saying that if you allow them to have nukes, as soon as they get one, they're going to use it.
Well, you know what I think? If President Trump does not get reelected and the Democrats get in there with somebody, I think that that's a sign that the war will come sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I
don't
do
know.
Too.
Maybe I'm just...
yeah, I do too. And of course, we believe that Trump nothing will come of this impeachment. We believe that Trump will indeed be elected in the next election. But if he is impeached or if he fails to win the election, because the Democrats are very good at underhanded elections, and already in Kentucky, there's a call there's a number of questions in the elections of how fair it was, because in times past, we found the Democratic machine had people voting that weren't even alive. They were dead. And they were supposed to clean a lot of these rolls. And Obama came out when he was elected, and he told all the illegal aliens to go ahead and vote in the election. So the bottom line of it is there's a whole segment of society that are liberal, that think that in America, every illegal alien that wants to that comes to our borders or is called an immigrant, and that immigrant has right to be taken care of right up front. And you know, the thrust of this is that I was on their website, a particular website today, that declared, you know, these things in not so uncertain terms. They quoted scripture even. But the bottom line of it is that nobody in this country, like when my folks came and Towers folks came to this country, they had to come the legal way. For you make this illegal is stupid. And as far as you quote scripture, even the devil quotes scripture. So at any rate.
Well, you know, my great grandparents came through Ellis Island and they did not let people in that were sick or diseased. And that's what's coming over the border. These people that are illegal, that are forcing their way in to this country, some of them have diseases and they're very contagious and it's not a good thing. And see,
yeah.
the Democrats are let anybody in who wants to come in.
Well, you know, the thing of it is we do have a mess. So like we say, if we pack our country with all of these particular people, I can tell you that America eventually is going to fall. Going to be a war here, and there is going to be trouble. And when it does, these people are coming, and they're going to be caught up in this carnage. The best thing to do is stay in their own country.
That's right.
Don't recommend coming to the United States. If you want to come, come legal. So you don't have to hide from the authorities.
That's right.
And if you do come, learn English for crying out loud.
That would be most helpful.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, I wanted to cover that. We have another one here. Are you ready on your first one here?
Muslim driver? Yes,
yeah.
I am.
Okay, go ahead.
This is in Kenya, sorry, there was 8 construction workers that were working for a company, and I believe they were building a hospital. They worked for a construction company, and this construction company hired a vehicle to ferry the workers to and from the work site. Well, one of the drivers was a Muslim, and he was taking these 8 construction workers home. And on the way, there was they barely escaped a terror attack on the way home at the hands of Al-Shabaab, a Somali-based militant group. And the driver, upon seeing the 10 heavily armed men flagging down the workers' vehicle, he defied the order to stop and sped past them. And to save the Christian passengers and himself, and this is confirmed through an interview ICC had with a senior police officer, and the officer shared, "We received reports of the attempted attack and immediately dispatched our security officers, who managed to meet the vehicle on the way about 4 kilometers from Elwak town. We applaud Mr. Hassan Abdul for his bravery in escaping from the trap of the Somali insurgents and saving the lives of these 8 innocent men." And one of the survivors, Simon Kiryu, described the horrific near-death experience as a traumatizing moment that should not be wished upon anybody, regardless of their tribe or religion. And he continued, "As soon as we had bypassed the attackers, they started running after us while spraying bullets on the van and deflating one of the tires. We lied on the floor and we could hear bullets hitting the body of the van. We thank God that this driver, who is a Muslim, did not stop to sacrifice us to the enemy. His act of love has touched our hearts in a way we shall never forget." Yeah, that's horrible what these people have to go through in these countries.
And, And that's a good story.
To support their family. Yes, it is. Thank God for that Muslim driver.
You know, that's, you know, and there are a lot of Muslims and Hindus, by the way, and others that are coming to the Lord. We've reported on a lot of them. And we've, you know, and this ain't the first time we've given a report on where a Muslim have helped believers, Christian believers.
That's right.
You know, this is the thing that you have to understand. This is a battle, and there are people that even in Islam really want to be good, really do want to have the true and living God on their side. And this guy, you know, had morals about him. He had a conscience, and that's,
yeah.
Thank God for that.
I like to believe, yeah, I like to believe that he's going to be one of those that accepts Christ as his Lord and Savior and renounces Islam.
Yep. Well, next we're going to be talking about a Finland pastor's wife. This comes to us from Christian News. And, you know, we've been doing this for years and years. And when we have stuff like this happen, it's not surprising if it comes out of Denmark or Finland or one of these kind of countries, because this happens a lot over the years. A lawmaker and pastor's wife in Finland was already being probed by police over a social media post in which she questioned the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland, which in fact partnered with the Helsinki Pride event, which is, of course, the LGBTQ.
Yeah.
And so she questioned it because should a church be partnering with people like this and their, you know, lifestyle? And so she got in trouble, and of course, she wrote that 15 years ago in a booklet called Male and Female Created He Them. That's what she's getting in trouble for. See, they questioned her over her reaction to the Evangelical Church's support of this Pride event, but then they got a hold, and one probably led to the other. This is the way it usually does. 15 years ago, she created male and female. He created them. So now she's being questioned because of that. You know, I mean, this is where the nations of men are. And if you're in America, you can't even begin to question anything like this, because people will rake you over the coals. Now, see, personally, when I talk of sodomy or LGBTQ or anything, there are a lot of sins that men can do. The only, you know, sodomy and same-sex marriage or relationships and all this other stuff, that is not the only sins listed in Scripture. Matter of fact, backbiting, lying, cheating, bearing false witness. I mean, there's a whole plethora of sins. The problem with the world today, they don't want to see anything as sin. Everything's okay. And this follows not only Scripture, but one of the best ones is Psalm 2. So at any rate, the Prosecutor General of Finland issued a press release. The publication which she wrote remains online. It takes a stand on ecclesiastical policy, social policy, sexuality, and marriage in regard to the Bible and its interpretation. And the prosecutor says the text and how she wrote it potentially constitutes a hate crime. See, if
that's
you remember
ridiculous.
What... Yeah, it is ridiculous. But the problem of it is that man has never changed. Even in the apostles' day, they were admonished not to say things, especially in the name of Christ. But see, Paul openly said that, you know, our message, what we give, is an aroma of life to those who believe, an aroma of death to those who don't believe. So when you,
that's
as a
right.
Christian, preach the gospel, teach the gospel, or teach anything that we would teach out of the Bible, to people that believe, that's life. That's obedience. That's where you need to be, for the most part. Let's put it that way, because not all Christians are Christian. And then the other part of it is that you teach that to those who don't believe, and to them, it's death, and it's an offense. So this is easily, and he goes further to that prosecutor to say that there's reason to believe that because of the defamation of homosexuals by the violation of their human dignity, she's guilty of incitement to hatred against a group. Now, of course, this is political speak. This also means that if you go out to preach the gospel, you go out to witness, you also are a hater. Yeah, because you don't accept them the way they are. You tell them. And, of course, within the church, we love the sinner. We hate the sin. But, see, in today's world, you have to love the sin along with the sinner. And that's something Christianity in its truth cannot do. We don't love the sin. We'll never be able to love the sin. And if you're a pastor or a leader in a church or even a Christian, you say, well, yeah, we can love the sin, then you don't know what you're talking about. Period.
That's right.
And you'd better repent. So at any rate, it's a pretty big story. You can read the rest of it. But the main part of this is, I mean, this kind of thing is going around all the time and more, especially around the world. We're seeing pastors and stuff get in trouble for just about everything, and Christians as well. So we are living in those days as such. And so it's important.
Are.
Another thing we want to talk about, and this is intolerance on campus. And this was an interesting story. And this particular story features, what do we call it? A renowned Columbia University theater. So this is Columbia University, this story. And it's a professor who happens to be, has a background in the arts and in the production of the arts. He is he's listed as a professor of theater arts in the Faculty of the Arts on Columbia's university's website. But he quit his tenured position because the Ivy League school is on its way towards full-blown communism, he said. Now, according to the College Fix, probably is the college newspaper there, he's an award-winning director who grew up in communist Romania. Now, communist Romania, we have some, you know, boy, there's a lot of, when the dictator was running that, he was really bad. And that's how, I'm trying to think of the name, the Martyrs Ministry.
Yeah, that's where International Christian Concern came from.
Any rate, the guy that started that came out of Romania. He had been in prison there. So at any rate, he talked about the social justice demands he faced with this College Fix. Well, the University Theater Department, he did an interview. It aired on Romania's TV, matter of fact. That was a kind of a change. And it was translated by a Romanian-American immigrant. And Columbia has the professor listed, but what happened was is he wanted to put in a candidate who is well qualified in this particular play. And of course, Juliet, he figured, he found one, was a woman who was going to play her. But he had been told that he was to put in a transgendered Juliet. Now, you see, in America today and around the world, we're seeing this romance with transgenderism and cross-dressing and transvestites. I don't know why they're all of a sudden thinking they have to go out of their way to put these people in these places. But, you know, this is par for the course in society. Well, this professor wasn't going to do it because that sounded like the Romania he tried to, you know, I mean, he escaped. He said he felt he was living under communism again.
And it violated his principles. Good for him.
And this is simply put, you know, a male to female transgender auditioned for the role to play Romeo and Juliet, and he was pressured to cast the transgender student in the role after the student performed Juliet's monologue. He said he did not believe the student could perform as Juliet. His colleagues disagreed with him for his statements, and he resigned from his position. He's an accomplished theatrical director and producer. He served as director of the Romanian National Theater. He won a Tony Award, several Obie and international awards, and yet they said he didn't know what he was talking about. This was political pressure. Yeah. This is to fill coffers of the school. This is to make sure you get all kinds of people coming into your school, and it's financial and political all rolled into one. So this is the America and the world today, right now.
That's sad. It's tragic that we've come to that.
Well, you know, it is. And you know, and I've got another one here, and when I put these together, I didn't realize I had so many of them, because this is another one. And this is a lesbian Episcopal priest named president of the National Abortion Federation. Now,
oh, good grief.
Yeah. She is an Episcopal priest who's a lesbian. Now, of course, there's a lot of issues just there. Now, see, in today's society, okay. Now, if I have to explain this to you, then you are in trouble here. And if you're a Christian, and if I have to explain it to you, then you are really in trouble. But when it comes to abortion is murder.
It's
called blood. It's called blood guilt. And I've been writing and teaching on blood guilt for many years. And when you kill a baby, that's murder. It's not abortion. It's murder. And murder of an innocent like that is sin. Now, you can flap it any way you want. Now, see, this lesbian Episcopal priest went on and said, "Abortion providers are some of my personal heroes and modern-day saints." See, they look upon abortion as being a service to God. And she ain't the only one who said it. There was another pastor who made the news and said it some time ago. "It's an honor to be able to serve and support NAF members as they provide compassionate health care amid increasing attacks and challenges." She served as the dean of Episcopal Divinity School, if you can believe that, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, from 2009 to 2015. Now, this tells you exactly why these churches are part of the Horror Church. "Was a priest of St. David's Episcopal Church until taking the position at a seminary." And she was a member of the board of Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice for 17 years. So she currently sits on the board of NARAL, Pro-Choice America. And so she's been incorporated within abortion issues most of her ministry. And so she said, 30 years ago, abortion was seen as a positive advancement medically, socially, and religiously. It was never religiously a positive advancement. Maybe in her backslidden world, corrupt, decadent. From a religious, if you want to be religious, religion will send you to hell. Any rate, abortion enabled women to make responsible stewards of their God-given gifts and talents, to make the decision about how to order their lives so they could best use those gifts. Now, all this is a bunch of gobbledygook. In other words, there's a reason why I have to get an abortion, because it bothers me. I can't do this. I can't do yada, 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 so I got to kill the baby, and it's murder. And, of course, the article goes on. This comes out of Christian News. She says, it says that she's openly lesbian, marrying another female Episcopal priest, Molly Lloyd, in 2011, at the Cathedral Church of St. Paul in Boston. Now, all you have to do is think about where this is taking place. This is the East Coast. And so,
this is frightening. Those kind of people are frightening, saying they know what God's mind is and corrupting other people.
You know, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His fruit of the womb is His reward, Psalm 127:3. But Proverbs 6 teaches God hates hands that shed innocent blood, and that's what you do when you kill the children. And now, through the late-term abortion laws, the stuff they passed in New York and other places, they can kill that baby outside of the womb as well. So, you know, it's a perversion. And, of course, you know, I'm talking to the choir here.
Yeah. You are.
You know, and people that, you know, that want abortion aren't going to listen. That's just all there is to it. So.
No, they won't.
At any rate, these were some important headlines that we wanted to cover up front. These were important. But do you have that other one ready? Restoring Iraqi Christians?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is kind of funny. it's kind of funny. It comes to us from persecution.org. And the guy who wrote the article, he said, give a man a chicken and you feed him for a day. Teach him how to grow chickens and you feed him for a lifetime. I'm sure you are familiar with the saying above. Okay, I did tweak it, but the principle is the same. And that's true. This is about Hanai. He doesn't know how to fish, but his father and grandfather before him. But like his father and grandfather before him, he sure knows how to grow chickens. He and his family live in Qoraghosh in northern Iraq. The Christians there are one of the oldest Christian communities in the world, and for generations, these Christians have been the key to supplying Iraqi's population with chickens. Hanai and most of the Christian farmers in Qoraghosh lost everything in 2014, the year that ISIS attempted to drive Christianity from the region. And like most of the area's Christians, they became refugees in northern Iraq as they hoped and prayed for the defeat of ISIS. Today, ISIS has been militarily defeated in the Nineveh Plains, and Hanai and other Iraqi Christians were able to return to what was left of their property. Their homecoming, though, was a small victory. Satan had tried and failed to drive Christianity from their homeland. But there was one problem. Hanai had vast experience in chicken farming and the property to do it. But neither of those were of any practical value without the funds to restart the farm. And this is until ESWIC, which means Stands with Iraqi Christian, an international Christian concern, entered the scene. Together, they've mobilized American Christians to help their Iraqi brothers and sisters rebuild. They've purchased 3,000 chicks, their feed, and enough supplies to sustain them until they are large enough to sell. So Hanai's family then did what they had done for generations. They raised chickens. Thank God that he reestablished them to be able to help other Christians, and thank God for the work of International Christian Concerns, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for being a part of that ministry to help restore our brothers and sisters in need.
Yes, and the important thing to this is Tower and I try to tell you some of these organizations who are helping out on the ground. And this is one of them. Barnabas Aid is another one. Samaritan's Purse is another one. There's a lot of them out there. And we have quite a list of ones that we talk about. Now, we've got a couple of minutes. I want to talk about Pakistan because the ICC covers Pakistan quite a bit. We cover Pakistan all the time. Been talking about it and India for a lot of years. Now, they documented 43 cases of persecutions against Pakistani Christians. That's in their count.
Wow.
But the thing of it is, yeah, the thing of it is we got really involved as far as really watching it. It was before Asiya Bibi actually had come into the news and everything. And then we started covering her for quite a lot of years. There's always been somebody that comes to the forefront. Asiya Bibi, pastor, the one from Turkey. What's his last name?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I know. I got.
I can see him.
Any rate, and then there was others from various other places. People that Pastor Brunson.
Yeah. There you go. Sorry, I couldn't think of that.
And they mention about police torturing to death Amir Masa and 28-year-old Christian Gardner in Lahore. Now, I remember this because we reported on it. He was falsely accused of stealing money from the house of a Muslim resident and then police tortured him for the next 4 days trying to get a false confession. And they killed him. Another one, a Christian teenager and a student at a government girls primary school, was kidnapped and fraudulently converted to Islam by our school's principal. We did that one as well. And you see a lot of that around the globe, them doing that. And of course, whenever we talk about a lot of this stuff, there are good reports coming out in some of the most staunch areas against Christianity. And we've given reports on those as well. So, you know, whether it's Pakistan or India, you get into Nigeria, of course, there's China, there's North Korea, there's Libya and Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan, the Sudan, Somalia. I mean, these are just a few. And we see more and more today of just a shedding of blood and tremendous persecution ongoing every day against Christian believers. And
it's horrifying.
So remember to pray for the brethren in Christ. Remember to do what you can financially and prayerfully. Because the Lord will look down upon you. He'll bless you, but he will also, you know, we need to pay attention to the brethren.
Yes, we do.
That's all there is to it. So at any rate, remember to go to our websites at warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. You can find most of these shows around the web, around the world. If you're anywhere in the world and you have a smartphone or you're online, you can listen. You can find an app. You can find our websites. So be sure to check all these things out. Pray for the brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, Tower, as we look at it and look back on a lot of things, we've seen a lot of victories, you know, with Pastor Brunson and with the Sea of Bibi. We've seen them released out of North Korea. Remember the ones that were released from North Korea? Now, the one kid that was released, he died. They had beat him to death.
But they tortured him horribly.
They did. And of course, this is the problem we have today. So with that, Tower, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, we do. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We love you. We pray for you. May God richly bless you and all that you do for him. And be sure to join us tomorrow night for part 25 of Isaiah's prophetic book, Burden of Moab. Good night, everybody.
Well, again, good night. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. This is the
Amen.
Watchman. Shalom. Visit the websites. Follow us on the social feeds. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.